Good afternoon. This meeting of the House Resources Committee will now come to order. It is now 1:08 p.m. Wednesday, March 18th, 2026, in Capitol Room 124. Members present are Representative Hall, Representative Mears, Representative Prox, Representative Sadler, and myself, Co-Chair Representative Diaper. Let the record reflect that we have a quorum to conduct business. Please take this time to silence your cell phones for the duration of the meeting. Thank you so much. Before we begin, I would like to thank Cheryl Cole from Records and Renzo Moises from the Juno LIO for staffing the committee room today and keeping things running smoothly. For the committee, today we have one item on the agenda, which is a presentation by Elena Suddeth from Interior Gas Utility from my district. So we'll be learning about the interior and how we move gas up north. Ms. Suddeth, welcome to the House Resources Committee. It's so nice to see you here in Juneau. Welcome. Please come forward and put yourself on the record. Ms. Suddeth has about 10 pages in her presentation, and we could ask questions throughout the committee. So just let me know. And let the record reflect that we have been joined by Representative Kalum. Welcome. At 1:10 p.m. Please put yourself on the record and begin your presentation, Ms. Suddeth.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me. For the record, my name is Elena Suddeth, and I reside in Fairbanks. Thank you, Co-Chair Diebert, for the invitation. It's always a good day when I get to talk about Interior Gas Utility. A brief introduction to Interior Gas Utility for those of you who might be less familiar with our small utility. We are a municipally owned utility. We are an instrumentality of the Fairbanks North Star Borough. What this means in practical terms is that we are owned by the Fairbanks North Star Borough, but we do not share funds between the utility and the borough. Our only source of revenue are rates and grants that we are able to receive because of our municipally owned status. We have a service territory of the Greater Fairbanks area that does include both Fort Wainwright and Allison Base. We have two independent from each other distribution systems, one in Fairbanks and one in North Pole. And we have a mission to provide low-cost, clean-burning natural gas to the largest number of customers in the Fairbanks North Star Borough as possible, as soon as possible. Interior Gas Utility was created to lower the cost of energy in a place that is burdened with some of the highest energy costs in the nation. My second slide is my board of directors. I am down to only two past Senate presidents on my board. I imagine that a lot of these faces will be familiar to you. Strong advocates for our state and for Fairbanks in general. Because of our municipally owned status, three of them are appointed, one by each of the municipalities. So Fairbanks North Star Borough, City of Fairbanks, and City of North Pole, and the rest are elected through general local elections. For our infrastructure, we serve about 3,600, a little over 3,600 customers currently, and by all utility standards, that is a small utility. I would like to point out, however, that back in 2021, it happens to be when I started working at IGU, but I did start working there as we started adding more customers to the system. We were at 1,200, so in a few years we have tripled the size of our utility. We have about 150 miles of mainline in Fairbanks, about 90 miles of mainline in North Pole. The two are not connected to each other. Connecting them is a big goal of the utility, and we are for that project, we're in shovel-ready status. We are applying for funding for it. And then both of these systems independently are collectively fed by storage facilities. We have three different storage facilities, LNG storage facilities. Two are in Fairbanks and one is in North Pole. We have a total capacity, LNG capacity of 5.5 million gallons. And to put that in perspective, when that storage is full, we have more than 30 days worth of storage at our design demand, the coldest of weather.
And can we go back to that slide?
Of course.
I just wanted to say that I had the opportunity to climb. Those are stairs that go all the way, that wrap around all the way up to the top when we did a tour of the storage tank. And you can see probably 20 miles out from the top up there. I don't know how high it is, but I can't remember that fact. But it was very impressive how much storage we have in that tank. We have a question from Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate the chance to ask questions as we go. I want to belabor it. Ms. Alina, I missed your last name, but...
Sedeth.
Sedeth? Very good, thank you. Ms. Sedeth, I have questions about the pipeline that you have serving in Fairbanks primarily. I'll ignore North Pole. 150 miles of mainline pipe. What's the age and condition of that pipe?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, all of our pipe is relatively new. Gas was first introduced to Fairbanks about 25 years ago. A lot of our infrastructure is much younger than that. Is all high density HDPE pipe, it is in great condition. It's a 100-year asset.
Very good. Thank you. And
follow-up?
Is the system overbuilt? I understand your mission is to expand your customer base and serve more people. Do you have you overbuilt it to meet the larger capacity in the future?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, thank you for that question. The storage capacity is definitely built for the future with the ability to, of course, add to it as necessary, but 5.5 million gallons in Fairbanks will last us for a long time. We are doing system design and understanding the fact and engineering the neighborhoods we're going to have to expand to. There is some transmission line work that has to continuously happen. Ours is a 60 PSI system, and we have a very short portion of a 100 PSI transmission line, so that needs to continue expanding as we add more customers. But overall, there is plenty of additional capacity to continue growth.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Seeing no further questions, please proceed, Ms. Sedeth.
Thank you. Our big news from last year is the fact that we have transitioned from our Cook Inlet LNG supply to the North Slope LNG. We've received first delivery of North Slope LNG in October and started receiving sustained deliveries in December. This is, in our opinion, a historical moment, as it is the first time that North Slope LNG, or North Slope natural gas, which is so abundantly available, was used outside of the North Slope in order to satisfy the needs of Fairbanks. We also hold it dear that we are were able to find an alternative to the Cook Inlet supply. We are the first utility that previously utilized Cook Inlet supply to have found a long-term sustainable solution to move forward as the production from those fields is going to continue declining. To date, we've received more than 5 million gallons of LNG from the North Slope. It has been both sufficient to satisfy our demand, and the other point that I want to make is that a harvest facility, which I'm going to talk about here and on the next slide a little bit more, is capable of producing about three times as much LNG as our older cooking lit facility. And so that, too, is sized for the ability to significantly grow the business.
Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I apologize for being the only questioner, but natural gas gets me excited. I want to learn more how it's being used. The contract for LNG supply, what are the terms? Are those 5-year with extensions or 20 years or 30 years? Or help me understand what commitment IGU has made to this delivery method.
Certainly, I will, through the chair, Representative Sadler, with your permission, I'm going to go to the next slide just briefly, and then we can go back if there are any more questions on the previous slide. But IGU has two commitments on the North Slope. We get our gas from Hillcorp, North Slope LLC, and then we receive liquefaction services from Harvest Midstream. Both of those are 20-year contracts. We are currently in year zero of the contract, so for technically the year one will start on July 1 of 2026.
Very good, thank you. And if I may follow up to this
follow
on the
up?
Same topic, and I'm not sure if this is the time to address this, but given the potential progress, and I hope not getting ahead of myself, getting the potential progress of the phase one of the AK LNG gas pipeline, are there concerns in your management, your board, about locking yourself into a 20-year contract when we may have a plentiful supply of gas from the North Slope in much larger volume? Any concerns about that commitment?
Sure. I don't know if through the chair, Representative Sadler. Thank you for that question. I don't know that that I would define those as concerns rather than as planning. There are a couple of things to keep in mind as we look at the Alaska LNG project. Interior Gas Utility is very supportive of that project. First, regardless of anything else, we are going to need security of supply. In South Central, the security of supply is provided by underground gas storage. That is not something that is possible in Fairbanks. And having access to liquefied natural gas as well as the resources to liquefy it and keep it is going to be important for security of supply. Nationwide and worldwide, LNG is also very commonly used for peak shaving. So rather than contracting for full flow at your maximum potential demand, one could contract with the Alaska LNG project for a smaller demand and then shave those peaks with liquefied natural gas. Lastly, in our conversations, we talk a lot about all of the projects and communities that will not be able to be served directly by the Alaska LNG project that could be served by liquefied natural gas instead. The Ambler Road projects, even communities and projects that are not yet started because of the cost of energy that are in interior Alaska, we could redirect the liquefied natural gas to satisfy our minimum volumes commitment with Harvest elsewhere. And I know I said lastly, but I have one more with your permission, Madam Chair. Wood Mackenzie report that the legislature has commissioned and was presented assumes that the Fairbanks, North Star boroughs, or the interior usage is going to be 11 BCF. The maximum minimum volume commitment that IGU has in the out years with Harvest are 3 BCF. So even with everything else remaining equal, there is plenty of additional usage in the interior.
Thank you. I appreciate the detail very much.
Seeing no further questions on this slide or the previous slide, we'll move we'll continue on.
This next slide represents the comparison between the main energy sources that are used for space heating in Fairbanks North Star Borough. So our current residential tariff is a little under $25 per MCF, which is about twice the rate in South Central, because we have to do all of the handling that I previously described to the natural gas that is included in the end price at the meter. Even so, natural gas remains consistently less expensive on a equivalent energy basis than delivered heating oil, and that provides meaningful savings for Fairbanks area customers.
We'll pause on this slide. We have a question from Representative Kalum.
Thank you, Chair. So traditionally, and I represent Anchorage, so sorry, I'm kind of ignorant on the Fairbanks situation. But so for years, it's been heating oil. But this new contract that you have, trucking from the North Slope, you mentioned that you were using Cook Inlet gas before. Was that being trucked to Fairbanks?
Ms. Sedeth?
Through the chair, Representative Colom. Yes, IGU still owns our liquefaction facility. It is near Big Lake, near in the Wasilla area. It was owned and operated by Interior Gas Utility, and it was capable of producing about 50,000 gallons of LNG per day, and we were then putting that in transport tankers and bringing it to the Fairbanks North Star Borough.
Okay, a follow-up?
Follow-up.
So is all the gas being you're not getting anything from that facility anymore? Is all coming from North Slope, or is there a percentage?
Through the chair, Representative Colom, thank you for that clarifying question. While the harvest facility was commissioning in October and November, we were still operating our facility. So for a short period of time there, we were receiving supply from both sources. But once harvest had their commencement date, we have fully switched to North Slope LNG since they are able to fully satisfy our demand.
Well, I have another question, but yeah. I can wait if others.
No other questions. So follow up.
So I've learned a lot from my colleagues in Fairbanks, and it seems like one of the issues that I hear about is the infrastructure for LNG, like to homes, if people are set up for heating oil. And what's that look like to convert a home to LNG or a business? Is that expensive to the property owner? What does that look like?
Sure. Thank you for that question. First, a small clarification. The homes would be converted to natural gas. By the time it gets through our distribution system, it is no longer liquefied natural gas. It is gas at about 60 degrees, very similar to what consumers here in South consumers in South Central are using. There are a couple of options to convert from heating oil to natural gas. One could, depending on the type of boiler that they currently have in the home or business, many boilers are convertible, in which case you switch the burner on that boiler. That does not, however, result in any increases in efficiency. Natural gas boilers are very famously more efficient than oil boiler, or a new boiler can be installed. It can be very expensive, and that is one of the barriers that we have to conversion. Even though, as you can see on this graph, natural gas is consistently cheaper than delivered heating oil, the barrier of conversion is a significant barrier because Fairbanks North Star Borough has been deemed by the EPA as a non-attainment area for the air quality. There is funding that is available to switch from dirtier fuel sources to cleaner fuel sources that homeowners and business owners can apply for. Those are funds that are being administered through the Fairbanks North Star Borough. And that can provide assistance. It is, however, not anywhere near the full price of that conversion.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Great question. Yeah. I myself, my family, and I are, we're in a neighborhood where we have the capability to change, but it's expensive. Yeah. And then, you know, you're already paying for high energy costs and mortgage and all the things, so it's still a lot on neighbors and the community. But it's good though in the long run. You could see in the mm-hmm. in the graph.
Can I do a follow up?
Yeah, follow up.
So how much are we talking if I had my regular 3-bedroom house? Like, what would it take to turn it over?
Through the chair, Representative Cologne, the numbers I am able to provide are not interior gas utility backed numbers. We do collect conversion information. I do, however, have some numbers that I can provide. So for a burner changeout, we hear that our customers pay on average about $7,500, and the assistance, should they choose to utilize it, that does come with deed restrictions, is, I believe, about $3,500. For a new boiler is between $20,000 and $30,000, and the assistance they can get is about $9,100.
Okay. That is expensive.
Thank you.
Yeah, Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question that's real simple. If you live in Fairbanks, I'm sure you know this, and if it may have been mentioned before, I apologize. But I want to make sure. So IGU had been getting LNG from the Big Lake area facility, but when Harvest began their LNG production facility in the Slope, you switched over. Is the Big Lake facility being operated at all? Is it being used, still producing for you or for anybody else?
Through the Chair, Representative Sadler, the facility... We still own it. It is mothballed. It is available. Should there be any need to restart it? It is, however, not currently operational. I believe that the biggest barrier to operating it and for a different use than Fairbanks North Star Borough will be the gas supply.
And follow up.
Follow up.
And are your ratepayers concerned about, I assume they're still paying the cost of it. I assume you're still financing, paying off the facility. Maybe that's a false assumption, but are your ratepayers concerned about having to pay to have a mothballed facility that's not providing any value to them?
Thank you for that question. Through the chair, Representative Sadler, the facility is not we are not currently making payments for the facility. In a mothballed status, the facility makes has very few expenses compared to the ability to have a plan B should plan A become an issue for any reason.
I'm sorry, probe that if I may.
Follow up?
You say IGU is not making payments on the facility. Do you own it outright? I'm not quite sure how you would, or you stop making payments to your financiers, or I don't quite understand.
Thank you for that question. We have a loan that was used to purchase that facility. It is not that facility. That loan is not yet due. We have a long deferment period followed by several years of interest only payments.
Very good. Thank you very much.
And I think on this slide, just as a follow-up to Representative Kaloum's questions and comments, maybe just a bigger picture of Fairbanks for all of us, what percentage of the homes in Fairbanks Borough are currently, and you might have mentioned this, are on liquefied natural gas?
Through the chair, co-chair Dibert, in Fairbanks, we have a penetration rate of about 35%. To clarify, however, that is not 35% of all people who live in Fairbanks. It is instead 35% of people who have access to one of IGU's main lines. And in North Pole, that rate is lower at about 15%.
And a follow-up. Do you, and then when we look at Fairbanks again from this high level, what can you ballpark for us what the cost would be to build to the majority of houses and businesses in Fairbanks? And you might, yeah.
Through the chair, Representative Dibert, we pay a general ballpark would be about $350,000 per mile. I would have to get back to the committee with an exact number for total full build out.
Thank you. And one more follow up. We have two bases in Fairbanks. We have the Fort Wainwright Army Military Base and the Isle Center Force Base. Is there plans to include them in the future, or would that be amazing to include them? Thank you.
Through the chair, Co-Chair Dibert, we are ready and willing to serve either or both of the military bases. I mentioned earlier the extra capacity of the Harvest LNG facility, and I want to put that in perspective now. Next year, IGU is going to burn about 1.5 BCF of natural gas. At full design capacity, that facility is able to produce about 4.5. Additionally, IGU has the contractual rights, and Harvest has the related contractual obligation to build up to two additional trains of LNG. So should the source of gas be liquefied natural gas from the North Slope, we have the capacity with some preparation time of up to 13.5 BCF, up for our 1.5. Additionally, should the Alaska LNG project be built, and we didn't have that unlimited capacity as well.
Great. I see no further questions or comments. Please continue. Thank you.
Thank you. I kept my presentation relatively short. This is my so that I can have the opportunity to answer as many of your questions as you might have them. This is my last slide. These are IGU's 2026 legislative priorities. I think you will come to as at no surprise to this body that we are highly interested in the Alaska LNG project and highly sensitive to the end cost. To Fairbanks, North Star Borough, to include the tariff that our consumers might have to pay on the spur line that's going to be necessary in order for us to be able to take gas from there. So we support the construction of the spur in general. We additionally support tariff that pulls the in-state demand and charges the same amount to everybody who is a state user that's going to utilize natural gas from the Alaska LNG project. We additionally support measures to lower the cost of converting to natural gas for households and businesses. We believe that the best way to prepare for the Alaska LNG project is to be ready to take its gas and transport it to all of the different consumers in the Fairbanks North Star Borough, and we have a lot of infrastructure to still build out and a lot of households and businesses to still convert to natural gas so that they can be able to utilize the benefits of this mega project that is going to happen in Alaska. We support capital funding for additional mainline extensions and services. And then, of course, because we are now operating on the Dalton Highway, we are going to join the many voices that support increased Dalton Highway maintenance and staffing so that we can reliably truck LNG to the Fairbanks North Starboro.
I was just wondering, are there any other communities or states doing trucking of LNG? Do you know of that?
LNG trucking is through the chair co-chair Dipert. The LNG trucking is very common for the closest other LNG plants to Alaska, other than the two I've been talking about, are owned by Cryopeak in Canada. They have facilities in Fort Nelson and Dawson Creek. IGU has historically while still getting LNG from our facility that was undersized for our needs, replenished some of our own supply with trucked LNG from Canada.
Representative Kalum.
Thank you, Chair. So to the tariff point, so I guess I just want to make sure I heard you right. So you support a tariff that pulls all the users up and down the gas line. There has been, I assume that there's discussions that somehow the spur would carry its own tariff only to Fairbanks and North Pole. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Cologne, yes. That is my understanding of the current plan.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Chair. I'm curious to know more about the actual truck traffic that the contract results in. How many trucks a day deliver gas or per week, and what size are they? And help me understand the trucking issue.
Thank you for that question, through Chair Representative Sadler. We have been getting an average of about 6 trucks delivered per day. Each of those trucks carries an average of about 14,000 gallons of liquefied natural gas. A clarification on the 6 per day, however, is that we, at 1.5 BCF yearly usage, we will have in the first years of that contract, periods during which the harvest facility will be shut down. That will happen in the summer. It can turn down only to a certain capacity and still be able to operate efficiently. And so we're going to get more volumes and then in the winter, and then shut it down electively in the summer until such time that we increase the usage to match the production capacity.
Follow up?
Yeah, so interesting. Raises a question. So the facility will go full bore, I suspect, in wintertime, but will slow down operations in the summertime. That's interesting. Does the demand go way down? You don't have enough storage space? Does the environmental heat make it? Why? Why that schedule of operations?
Through the Chair, Representative Sadler, clarification, the facility at about 6 trailers a day, the facility is about is operating about at about half capacity. It is not full capacity in the winter. Why the schedule? Because should we keep up the schedule of 6 per day, we would take possession of more LNG than our current sales can match.
Very good.
Yeah. Representative Prox.
Thank you. Through the chair, I can't remember if it's called the Denali Hotel, but there is some hotel near Denali that is operating off of natural gas at this point. And as I recall, IGU was dropping off a trailer or something, but is that still ongoing?
Through the chair, Representative Prax, I believe you might be referring to the Talkeetna Hotel.
Yeah.
We do, Interior Gas Utility does have a small storage and vaporization facility there, and we do continue to serve it with liquefied natural gas now from the North Slope.
Mm-hmm. Where I'm going with that is trying to figure out if there are, if there, there would be some minimum demand where this could be duplicated. I don't know. And I can't call it Glitter Gulch anymore. What's the proper word?
Oh, yeah.
We learned that this week.
We know what you mean.
Yeah, right. Is that an idea that's worth looking into, or have you looked into it far enough that it's not worth looking into it more?
Through the chair, Representative Prax, thank you for the opportunity to talk about this. Interior Gas Utility is highly interested in replicating the model that that we have in Talkeetna. LNG facilities of a small size, the vertical tanks that that we have in North Pole and in Fairbanks and at Talkeetna are very simple systems that can be operated very effectively, that can be great for remote operations, and we would be very interested in talking to anybody who is interested in that, and we're doing some of our own outreach as well.
Okay.
Follow-up?
Are you integrating your expansion plans, I guess, with DOT, or does it matter much? It would seem to me once the road is torn up to rebuild or put in a new road, you might as well put a natural gas pipe alongside of it somewhere. Is that being integrated with construction projects at this point?
Through the chair, Representative Prax, yes, we are in constant communications both with DOT, with the cities. Anybody who opens up a road, we are included on the distribution systems for in distribution for information about it, and depending on the exact location, we very often ask to be included as part of the project.
Mm-hmm. Is
follow-up?
Yeah, follow-up. Is that plan available somewhere that we could take a look at it?
Through the chair, Representative Prax, I assume you're asking about IGU's plan to continue growing.
Right.
While it is not publicly available, we all of our engineering is generally available, and I'd be open to sharing specific mm-hmm. information with your office.
Thank you. Just a comment. It would seem when, you know, you might need a legislative appropriation to do that separate from the DOT appropriation, I would think. But it might be good to have a long-range plan in place so that if, for instance, they're going to be upgrading Holmes Road, and it's nowhere near the main line right now, but it might make sense to just go ahead and throw a piece of pipe in there mm-hmm. at some point. And that'd be good for us to know.
And would you like to follow up on that or comment, or would that be better off in a meeting with?
Through the chair, Representative Prax, thank you for that suggestion. We're always open to creating efficiencies.
Okay. And we need to do that.
Okay.
Look at that. Just
makes sense.
Another, I thought, when I thought Holmes Road, at the Badger Road end, the population density is so small it's not worth even wasting the cost of the pipe, probably. But on the Dennis Road, that whole subdivision area and up Lackloy Hill, might have enough population density to think about. Either a pipe, well, I guess that's the things you have to consider. It'd make it closer to a mainline pipe if that ever got installed, or to have a separate system similar to what's going on in Talkeetna, where you don't need all the pipe. At some point, putting in a separate liquefaction unit makes more sense than running a pipe. And it would be kind of interesting for somebody to know about that. Too much detail for this meeting.
Representative Prox, I'm happy to hear that. You're advocating for your neighborhoods, and that's important. We all want cheaper energy, so to our neighborhoods and our neighbors. So thank you for your comment and maybe a follow-up after. Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've got a kind of a nomenclature question. Minnesota, you tossed around some terms. I want to make sure the harvest facility is on the North Slope. Where exactly in the North Slope? Not precisely, but approximately. Is it in Dead Horse? Is it someplace? Where is that, the harvest facility?
Through the Chair, Representative Sadler, it is near Dead Horse.
Very good. And follow up, the Big Lake facility, what's the proper term for that? I mean, colloquially, near Big Lake, but is there a proper name for it? Or?
Through the Chair, Representative Sadler, we call it the Titan facility. That was the name prior to all of the assets of formerly Fairbanks Natural Gas were consolidated under Interior Alaska Natural Gas Utility.
Thank you. Okay. With that, a different line of questioning?
Representative Sadler.
Thank you. I'm looking on page 3. It looks like slide 6. I just want to understand the kind of the flow chart here. As I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong, Hillcork North Slope LLC is the gas producer. And they sell the gas to IGU, and then IGU contracts with Harvest Midstream LNG LLC as a LNG producer? Or help me understand what the flow of the actual commercial transaction is. Who sells what to whom and does what, that stuff?
Through the Chair, Representative Sadler, you have it right. We purchase the gas from Hillcorp. It then transfers to Harvest Midstream that liquefies it. We take possession of it at the LNG out flange where it gets loaded into IGE-owned trailers that are pulled by Middle Fork, which is our transportation contractor. We pay for both the liquefaction services and the gas itself as measured at the LNG out flange on the at the liquefaction facility.
Very good. Thank you. Actually, you know, if I may,
yeah.
I think you said, just clarify, so you said that these are the two agreements. They are both 20-year agreements, but they are independent of each other. It's not one contract. It's two separate agreements.
Through the Chair, Representative Sadler, that is correct.
Thank you, ma'am. Thanks.
I did have another question.
Yep. Representative Klum.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I was looking at another priority, legislative priority, and the third one says support measures that lower the cost of converting to natural gas. So I was trying to think of what that would look like in the legislature. Is that speaking to capital funding? I probably should have asked, you know, the assistance that's provided for conversion. Is that federal money? Is that state money? Is there a certain measure or bill, like, in play right now that would help that? Or is it just a general supporting this principle?
Thank you for that question. Through the Chair, Representative Colon. The current funding that is available, it is an air quality funding rather than a converting to natural gas funding. And it is from the Targeted Airshed grant from the EPA to DEC to Fairbanks North Star Borough that then administers that funding. One of the restrictions, one of the conditions of utilizing that funding, because it is an air quality measure, is that there is a deed restriction that goes with the property, not with the homeowner, but the property, so it transfers upon sale, that says that the household will never utilize any solid fuel heating devices such as a wood stove or a pellet stove.
Oh,
As you might imagine, there are people who though could use the assistance are not ready to assume that deed restriction. One of the capital funding requests that we've had last year, we did not reintroduce that, but we are contemplating a slightly different assistance a pipeline that prioritizes conversions for low to medium income homeowners that are not otherwise able to do that conversion by themselves, that is funded by a grant from the legislature to an organization that verifies income to continue converting homes that way.
Yeah, so they wouldn't have that restriction, the pellet and the wood stove.
Through the chair, Representative Coulomb, that's correct.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
Representative Sadler.
Thank you. The more time we have, the more questions I have. Again, I don't know much about the interior and am fascinated to learn more about IGU's operations. If you don't mind me asking, what's the financial health of IGU? Balance sheet, roughly, loan obligations. Just help me understand. You guys have taken on some significant investments, and just wonder what the future balance sheet look like.
Sure. Through the chair, Representative Sadler, because it is our purpose to provide as low cost of gas as possible, and because we are not economically regulated by DARCA, our board of directors approves our budget. We do not take depreciation and amortization. We do not recoup that from our rates. So if one were to look at our financials with a naked eye, you might see that that being in the red. However, if both of those are excluded, IGU is able to meet all of its obligation, to include the obligation to maintain a debt coverage ratio of 1.35, which is mandated by one of the bonds that we have. We have a $10 million bond that requires that. In addition to that debt obligation, I mentioned earlier, our $139 million sets loan from ADA, and then we have a small commercial loan for our building at one of our local banks.
Thank you. Follow up?
Mm-hmm. Follow up.
And you said that the IGU is not RCA regulated, did I hear you correctly?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, that is correct. RCA did grant us our CPCN, our Certificate of Public Necessity and Convenience. However, we are not economically regulated by them.
Okay. Very good.
Representative Prox.
Yes, thank you. Through the chair, that brings up a question I hadn't thought about. If the spur line and the rates were to be included in the main line, would the utility then fall under RCA regulations?
Through the chair, Representative Prax, if I believe you're asking if IGU were to own and operate the spur line, would that make us have to be economically regulated by the RCA?
Representative Prox.
Well, maybe two parts. If if IGU owned operated and the tariff for that line was included, I wouldn't think then that it would fall under RCA regulations. On the other hand, if we were going for some sort, there's a lot of talk about getting postage stamp rates, tariffs, as part of the mainline project, which I'm not sure is going to be RCA regulated either. But then we would be connected to and in the same boat as NSTAR, which I believe is RCA regulated. Is that a question we need, maybe can't answer right now, but is that something we need to think about?
Through the chair, Representative Prax, I think that that might be RCA decision rather than IGU decision or preference.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Right. Yeah. And Ms. Sutter, I have a question that spurred me to think of a question.
Mm-hmm.
A few weeks back, we had some mayors come and visit with us about the AKLNG, and it just reminds me of the PILT, the payment in lieu of taxes. Has IGU had any discussions with the borough on this at all?
Through the chair, Co-Chair Dibert, IGU would not comment on property taxes that is outside of our general purview. However, IGU is in communication with the borough about the gas line and the spur line to Fairbanks and the cost to Fairbanks, the end cost to Fairbanks. And we thank Mayor Greyer Hopkins for his leadership on that.
Any further questions or comments for Ms. Sedeth from the interior?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for being here, for kind of sharing our story in the interior when we come to energy, natural gas, trucking. I welcome, maybe in the future we could have the Resources Committee visit. If you ever come to visit the interior, I've done the tour of the distribution sites, of the storage site, and IGU facilities. It's a great tour that I did, and I welcome anyone on this committee. Representative Prox, you were on the tour. So maybe we could plan that in the future. And I think, you know, in Fairbanks, energy is expensive, and we want to help our neighbors. We want to help our community and build out as many homes as we can. And, you know, from this presentation, what it sounds like in the end, it's the cost of delivery to our people and all of that goes into that. That will facilitate the percentage of homes on liquid natural LNG. So the price point of that will be important to our community members. But I just thank you so much for being here. And with that, I think, and then I would also like to, for the record, let the committee know Representative Fields is here at 2:01. And that's it. Thank you so much. I'm going to go to my script now. I want to thank Ms. Sedeth one last time for coming to Juneau to present the work of Interior Gas Utility and all the work you've done with Harvest Midstream. That completes the agenda for our House Resources Committee meeting today. Our next House Resources Committee meeting will be Monday, March 23rd. At 1 p.m., where we will take up HJR 44 to support Native Corporation Business Development Program. On Wednesday, we'll hear from Professor Philip White from UAF on the history of Alaska's rail belt. And on Friday, we'll hear from ADFNG Doug Vincent Lang on House Bill 266, Big Game Hunting Permits. And with that, the time is 2:02 p.m. and this hearing from the House Resources Committee is now adjourned.